It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick. Real Talk Radio is a ministry of Live the Life Ministries based here in Jacksonville, Florida, where our ministry started in 1998, and our passion and heart was to help people become healthy, mature individuals so they can have healthy, loving, mature relationships, marriages, and families. We know through social science research that as the family goes, so goes communities. Churches, organizations are only as strong as the families are, and the families are only as strong as the marriages are. And we know through social science research that all of the major social issues we have can be linked back to high divorce rates and broken families. And so our ministry exists to strengthen marriage and families through teaching in it to the culture and to the church healthy relationship skills so that people can create the relationship that God wants them to have to live the abundant life. That's right. So they can live out the abundant life. You're going to notice a lot of Christians today are not living the abundant life. They're angry. They're resentful. They're bitter. They're in conflict. They live in fear. That's not the abundant life, you see? And we want people to live out the abundant life heart so they can have an abundant life marriage so the kids raised in those homes can actually see the heart of Father lived out by their moms and dads. And so if you have a question or comment, feel free to reach me at our email, realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. And you can reach us on Facebook, Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick. I think it's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. You can reach us there. And so what we're going to talk about today for a little bit here is the idea of inspiration. Have you ever met people who really don't have a motive in life and they're not inspired for anything? You know, they just kind of exist. They just kind of, it's like there's no inspiration in them. They don't know how to get inspired and they're not inspired by anything. The inspiration is about passion, you see. What inspires me is seeing people healed from broken marriages so they can create the family that they want and the marriage that they want. You see, we all need to be inspired by things, but we need inspiration from within us as well. All right? And so what I want to do today is just have a conversation around what are some things that you can do to get inspiration, to find what inspires you, all right? It's what entrepreneurs do, these things. Why not we in the church do these things as well, you know? I mean, think about it right now. If you're listening to me, how many of you are inspired to live lovingly, more maturely? How many of you are actually inspired to live the abundant life heart? How many of you are inspired to be more compassionate? How many of you are actually inspired to be more patient? How many of us are inspired to be more kind? You got it? Those are the things I think we should be inspired for. I get an opportunity to be more patient. Yes. Wonderful. Why? Because God is love and love is patient. So the more that I'm patient, the more I'm like God. Because God is patient, because God is love. That inspires me. That inspires me. And when that person cuts you off in traffic and you want to run up alongside them or give them the middle finger salute or whatever you do, you speed up and you stare at them. And you know what I'm talking about, sir or ma'am, who does that, who has the Jesus loves you bumper sticker on your car. What if you were inspired to say, you know what? Let them go. That person didn't wake up today. I get inspired to be kind. And kindness wouldn't do those kinds of things. Kindness just says, hey, go on. You know, you didn't wake up to do that to me this morning. You're just doing what you do because that's who you are. You see, what if we were inspired to live that way within ourselves and towards others? So what I am going to do today is I went and did the research and I've kind of studied what do people do to gain inspiration. And so I'm going to talk about some things that we can begin to do. If you do these things, it helps increase inspiration. Now, you got to know what it is that inspires you, right? What are you going to be inspired for? Some people are inspired towards sports. Some people are inspired towards video games. One thing that I'm inspired by is my marriage and creating a stronger us for me and Luella. I'm inspired by that, and I live for that. I didn't grow up in a healthy home. It was broken families, broken marriages, and on both my parents' part. And I had no clear example what a loving, mature, really connected relationship looked like, and neither did Luella. But we were inspired to go learn it and figure it out and create it. And because that inspiration was in us, and in particular me, and I went and I sought the teachers, the mentors, I read the books, I went to the trainings, I did the personal development. I did those things so I can help. As far as I was concerned, in terms of us, takes two to make an us and one to kill it. I was inspired to be that person, and I worked hard to become that. So then, let's get kind of right into this for our short time today and talk about what are some things that a person can do to find inspiration, things that they can do to find inspiration. Number one thing I can think of, write everything down, your good ideas, your bad ideas, your laughable ideas, random musings or dreams. Write them down. Many years ago, I was at my dear friend's house up in Wisconsin. I was doing a marriage intensive with a couple. And it was on the lunch break. And I was sitting there in this beautiful green chair that I love. That if they ever get rid of, I told them they had to will it to me. I love this chair. It's what I use do the intensive out of when I go to their house up there in Wisconsin. But I was sitting during this lunch break. And I was just kind of pondering, looking out the window. And I had this vision in my head. It was so profound, I knew I had to draw it and write it down. So I grabbed a piece of paper, and I'm not an artist, but I wrote down what I saw in my head. It just, the vision. That was many years ago. No idea that that little graphic, what I called way back then, the four protective walls of us, would actually become the whole Relate Well paradigm. And Relate Well is the new program that my brother and I have been working on as we seek to take relationship skills, education to the culture and in the business world in particular. You write it down. You may have something that comes in your head. Write it down so you don't forget it. All right? Write it down. A lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, they write those things down. You go, what do you do with that? Put it aside. For all you know, God's going to bring that back to you, all right? So one thing you can do is write it down. Number two, read. All great people read a lot. Matter of fact, a lot of people read, all right? But not all people are readers. But I do know this. Every leader is a reader, all right? A lot of people read, but not all people are readers. But every great leader is a reader. They are always preparing their brain. They're reading. They're reading blogs. They're reading papers. They're reading inside their industry, and they're reading outside of their industry. So many people only want to read in their box of theology. Folks, go read from other people. You might learn something from Catholic theologian. By means, a lot of evangelicals quote them, Augustine, et cetera. They were all Catholics, right? And so there's great theologians out there. Read outside. Read. I read in many different areas. I read geopolitics. I like a lot of crime novels. I read people I agree with, and I read people that I don't agree with. I read people but I become a great reader. Why? Because I learn something. I also learn how the enemy thinks. I learn how the people I disagree with, I learn how they think. All right? So read, expand your knowledge base, all right? Inspiration comes from reading. Also, if you want some inspiration, find a new surrounding. It's like some entrepreneurs, they work from home. But guess what they do? They'll go to a Starbucks, they go to this place, or they go to that place. They get out of that place and they go to a different place for inspiration. I remember I was talking to an Aflac guy, and I've not confirmed the story, but I don't think he would have lied to me. I said, "How did you all come up with a duck?" And he said, "The story is that the Aflac had hired a marketing company to come up with something for them, and they are struggling with it, and two guys or a guy and a girl, whatever, they're near New York City, they went to lunch. They went to lunch, and they're sitting on a bench there, I think in Central Park, wherever it is, and they're sitting there eating lunch, and some duck from the lake comes walking up and went, quack, quack. And one of them laughingly said, "That sounds like Aflac." And there it was. There it was. Quack, quack, Aflac. And we all know the Aflac commercials this day. Sometimes what you're looking for isn't even, it's like the most obscure place. It was down by a lake eating lunch when a duck walks by, and we all know the Aflac duck and love the Aflac duck like you do the little gecko, all right? So find some new surroundings. Put yourself around different people. Broaden your horizons. Some people only like to live in their little corner of the world. Luella and I kind of started to learn from our children. Our children, they've been all over Europe and the Middle East. Trey, my oldest, has been throughout Asia. I mean, he's been in Taiwan, Thailand. He's been in Cambodia, lived in Indonesia. He's traveled all the Indonesian country. You see, and so we went to go visit Trey in Indonesia. We visited Bali and different places around there. We went to the Middle East to visit our other two kids that live over there. And as we have broadened our horizons, we became more inspired about Arab people and Arab culture. And we became more inspired about loving people differently and understanding how they think so we can love them better. Broaden your horizons. Traveling is a great way to do that, okay? The people up north are culturally different than people in the south. The people in the Midwest are a little different than people here in Florida. Broaden your horizons. Learn from others. You can get inspiration from seeing new ways of doing things and different ways of doing things, all right? Another way that you can get inspiration is ask. Ask. Get people's perspectives on things. You see, talk to people. You know, you can use Facebook, you can use Twitter, you can use Reddit. There's a lot of things to get different people's perspectives on things. And in doing things, getting people's perspectives on things, you learn something you didn't know. It goes, "Oh, I never saw it that way." And next thing you know, an inspiration happens inside of you. You get it, right? You just get it. Another thing you can do is go do something physical. Sometimes your mind gets kind of bogged down, and sometimes getting out doing something physical, like cleaning a yard or building a house, whatever it is you want to do. You know, I'm not a house builder myself, but go do something physical. Sometimes that kind of clears your brain up, you know, and just clears away all the distractions, that kind of thing. By the way, when you're talking about clearing distractions as well, sometimes you got to get away from technology. You know, what I do sometimes, I get away and I go watch a movie or something and let my brain kind of go in this neutral state. And I can't tell you, when I watch a movie or something, sometimes I get this idea or realization or something because it kind of like I got past all those things. All right. all right. Now we'll get back to the show. Question all assumptions is another thing, all right? Question all assumptions. Folks, just because you see something being the way it is doesn't mean it is. One of my great teachers and mentors who I deeply, deeply respect this day is Dr. Jerry Mungadze. Now, Jerry grew up in the bush of Zimbabwe. He's African and lives in the Dallas area, and I worked for him for a number of years. He taught me much about dissociative disorders and how the brain works and how trauma affects the brain. And he taught me a lot about myself and the demonic world and Christian theology as it relates to those kinds of things. He was one of the greatest teachers I have and still love and respect this man to this day, all right? But one of the things he always said to me is two words, he always said to me that stay with me to this day, and the two words are these: think differently. think differently. Don't assume what's in front of you is what it is. It might be something different. Don't assume. Question the assumptions. Check them out. And that was the greatest gift he gave me, because some people live in their little small, what I call, dot of knowledge when there's a massive world of knowledge out there. And what Jerry taught me was question assumptions, all right? Turn some of your assumptions on their head. You might find inspiration in that some of your assumptions may be wrong and based on a lack of total information, all right? Now, be open to all sources. You know, inspiration comes in a lot of different sources, all right? Entrepreneurs know this, all right? Be honest, if you're a business owner, some of your low-level employees have just as much knowledge. If you're a pastor, that does not mean you know everything, and you might learn something from some of your members. You know, one of the things that we see today among a larger pastors are this teaching that they're above being questioned, that they're above criticism. Jesus never saw himself as above criticism. He even says in John 10, hey, if you don't believe me, can you at least what I say? If you don't believe what I say, can you at least trust what I do? He reasoned with you. He did not demand blind obedience. Be open to all sources. You might learn something from a donkey. You might learn something from a place you never thought you would learn it. You see, inspiration comes from many different areas, and it might come from someone who's below you in economic status, but be open. And this is a big one. Sometimes inspiration comes through failing. That's right. Sometimes it comes through failing. Some of our greatest hurts, some of our greatest failures can set the stage for some of our best successes. I think it was Steven Tyler in his song by Aerosmith. He says, you've got to lose to know how to win. And there's a lot of truth in that. Entrepreneurs, what makes them different than most people is basically this. They understand that, yes, in business I'm going to fail. But they understand this truth by Napoleon Hill, that in every failure is the seed of an equivalent success. Where most people fail and they quit, which is why they're a failure, these folks go, no, okay, I messed up, I failed. What can I learn from it? What's the nugget of truth I've got to learn? They then get inspired by that nugget of truth they learned, and they go apply that into the next stage. You see, they don't quit, they keep moving. So sometimes failure becomes a great inspiration. I know that when I walked through a really rough time in 2004 and 2005, that was inspiration for me to look at myself. That was inspiration for me to heal some parts of myself. It was inspiration for me to not be some of the parts that I was, some of the parts that I had to transform those parts, you see. And because of that, I've developed the guy I am today, you see. And so it's okay to fail. Just don't quit. Just keep moving, all right? Which goes along with having some quiet time for yourself. And in the Christian world, quiet time basically means that most people, at least, you know, read your Bible. Folks, sometimes it's just sitting and being still. Just being alone with yourself and the Lord. Concentrating on your breathing and what's around you. Becoming very attuned to the outside world, but also the internal world, so you can hear the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get so busy doing, we don't know how to listen to hear the Spirit. And so sometimes just having a time to get away and be alone to yourself, to think, to reason, to consider, and literally if you're the Holy Spirit in you, to listen to the Spirit. And that to me is very powerful. So have those times, just get away. Maybe it's 10, 15 minutes. You close the door to your office and you just pray and ask the Lord and then sit and listen. Okay? Evaluate your goals. You know, maybe your struggle for inspiration is symptomatic of a deeper issue. Maybe it's because you're not going in the right direction, or your efforts are being taken off goal. All right? Maybe you're chasing, you know, as they say, you're chasing a route you don't need to go. All right, and so evaluate your goals. Make sure your goals keep you focused to keep the inspiration. And this one's going to sound interesting. but study history. Study history. Study the people of history. What have other people learned? Trace the creativity of great minds. Learn from others who've walked the path ahead of you. Don't assume that you have to force the path yourself. There's a great Chinese proverb that says this, and if I get it right, but here's the essence of it. If you want to know what's in the road ahead of you, ask those coming back. All right, they've been down that road. They've learned things. They've understood things. So when you study history, we tend to make mistakes from the past because we haven't learned from the past. You see, and so study history. I love to read history. Sadly, though, you also see where history repeats itself because people haven't learned from history. So study history. Read great minds. Okay, you learn some things that you didn't know. All right. And another way to get inspiration is to never stop learning. Never stop learning. Read scholarly articles. All right. And I'm going to say this: I have been inspired by reading people that I disagree with. I'm going to say that again. I've actually been inspired by reading people I've disagreed with. Because I listen to what they say, and I'm like, oh my gosh, no wonder they're saying what they're saying. And I get inspired even more for what I want to accomplish and do. You see? And I learn by reading the people I disagree with why they think the way they think. So that inspires me to know how to deal with them and communicate with them and communicate around them. But if I did not know how they think, I couldn't do that. I remember from history, George Patton was once asked, you know, how did you know how to defeat Rommel, the desert rat, the great German general? And essentially, Patton said, I read his book. He read the guy's book. He knew how he thought because Rommel wrote a book on using armor in warfare. And Patton just knew how he thought, you see. So never stop learning, all right? Another one is look at your own life. Look at your own life. Sometimes your own frustrations, your own anger, resentments, but stop your own ability to be inspired, all right? So if you encounter problems, deal with them, forgive what needs to be forgiven, get forgiveness if you need it, and move forward. Don't live in fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, all right? All right? And sometimes, this is a really interesting one, to get inspiration. Be the dumbest person in the room. You get that? Be the dumbest person. It is best that you help others become. It is best that you become the dumbest person in the room. Why? So you can learn from other people. But if you're the kind of person that has to educate everybody else and you think you know it all, when you think you're the smartest person in the room, no one's really going to open up and talk with you because you think you know it all. All right? And so, keep pushing. Keep pushing. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. All right? Keep pushing and moving things forward. There's another way to gain inspiration. All right. So those are some thoughts I have for how to be inspired, how to move things forward, and how to keep things happening in your life so you can be inspired. Now, as I wrap up the day, what do you want to inspire you? Does anything inspire you? What are you going to be inspired for? See, I'm inspired for marriages. I'm inspired for families. I'm inspired to love well. I'm inspired to be a better man. I want to be more mature in 5 years to today than I am today. And gratefully, I'm more mature today emotionally than I was 10 years ago. Got it? I'm inspired to always grow and mature. I'm inspired to help people grow and mature. And the way I do that is becoming healthy and mature. And then I go mentor people who want to be mentored, right? It inspires me to mentor people. Why? Because when I get to mentor people, I get to see them change. I get to see them grow. I know that that person is going to represent Father's heart to a world around them in a very different way. What are the things that you want to be inspired for personally? Personally, maybe you need to be inspired to lose the weight, i.e. me. Okay. Maybe you want to be inspired to stop drinking. Maybe you need some inspiration to change some bad habits. Maybe you want to be inspired to adopt some better habits in your life. All right. What are you going to be inspired for in your relationships? Do you want to be inspired to be a more loving person, a more kind person, a more patient person? All right. Is there a purpose and a path in your life that God has placed on you and wants you to fulfill, but your own thinking, fears, insecurities, self-doubts keep you from the inspiration? Go deal with those things. Go fulfill what God has called you to be. Why? He's calling you to be that so he can use you to serve others. And let me tell you something. I've learned this. To serve others is one of the best ways to live life. I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me and said, hey, Rick, you do not know how much. And I'm humbled by it. But I'll tell you, at the same time, it's like, Father, thank you. Thank you that you would be willing to use a broken, wounded vessel like me to encourage, to support, to strengthen and inspire people to have the marriage they want, the family they want, to be the person that they want to be. Wow. That to me is just inspirational in itself. It's like, Lord, how much you love me because you would actually use me, a broken, wounded vessel, to serve others. Wow. Thank you for loving me enough to be able to do that for you. You see? So what areas of your personal life do you need to be inspired by? What areas do you want to need inspiration for your relationships? Maybe you need to be inspired to fix a problem you have with a child, one of your children. Or maybe you need to be inspired to do something to fix something with your spouse and to become something better in those relationships. Maybe the Lord wants to inspire you to do something different in your business or in your ministry. You know, all of us are ministers, not the paid people. In the body of Christ, all Christians, you have the Holy Spirit, you are a minister. And wherever you go, you are in ministry. If you work at McDonald's, you're in ministry McDonald's. If you work at Burger King, you're in ministry Burger King. If you work at Dillard's, you're in ministry at Dillard's. And if you work at a church setting, you're in ministry at a church setting. You have great impact for the gospel when you understand that whatever you do and wherever you go.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The largest Southern California earthquake in nearly 20 years jolted a vast area from Sacramento to Mexico, cracking buildings, setting fires, and wrecking roads, but only causing minor injuries. The 7.1 magnitude earthquake struck at about 8 o'clock last night local time. It was centered some 11 miles from Ridgecrest. That's the same area of the Mojave Desert that was struck by a 6.4 magnitude earthquake on a Thursday. Several thousand in Ridgecrest remained without power today. There were reports of fires, and large aftershocks are actually expected to continue because they say it is a series of quakes. Police and firefighters, meanwhile, investigating an explosion at a Florida shopping plaza that injured multiple people. The explosion happened this morning at a shopping center in Plantation west of Fort Lauderdale. It sent large pieces of debris about 100 yards across the street. This is SRN News.
Up to a 60% chance of rain all weekend and all week. Mostly cloudy all weekend with highs near 90, lows about 75. Then starting Monday, partly sunny skies during the day, mostly cloudy at night with daytime highs into the low 90s, nighttime lows about 75.
If you've ever been hurt by someone and you know you need to forgive, don't miss today's Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman.
Today, I'm taking a very different path than my father, and because of God's grace, I can, and so can any of your listeners. They may have also had a difficult childhood or have had circumstances happen to them that got them off track, but they don't have to extend that to the next generation. They can be the one in their family who says, enough.
Welcome to Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. Today, a universal topic that's difficult to tackle. We all need to forgive someone, and we know unforgiveness is only hurting us, but how do we do it?
And how do you do it from the heart and not just the head? Does forgiving mean that you forget? And if you do remember the past infraction, does that mean you truly haven't forgiven? We're going to deal with all those questions and more with Gil Mertz on a Best Of broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Go to 5lovelanguages.com. You'll see the book Forgive Your Way to Freedom, our featured resource. And Gary, I think this is a topic we talk about seemingly on every program in some form or fashion, don't you think?
Well, I think, Chris, you're probably right, because let's face it, none of us are perfect. And from time to time, we do and say things that hurt people, even the people we love the most. And without apology and forgiveness, we don't get very far in a relationship. So, you know, it's pretty essential to having long-term positive relationships.
Before we meet our guest, you've said this time and time again, and I'm doing this from memory. Your definition of forgiveness that I've heard you talk about has this idea of releasing the other person. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, Chris, I think sometimes we use the word forgiveness and releasing meaning the same thing. I think there is a place for a difference between those two words, actually. I think forgiveness typically is a response to an apology. You know, when we confess our sins to God, He forgives us. And so He responds to our confession. I think the same principle is true. But let's face it, people don't always apologize. And we have to release them to God. That's the picture I like to say, that maybe they're not apologizing. Maybe they're still living in sin. But you can release them to God, and certainly we're not to hold the anger inside and the hurt inside, because that's going to destroy us. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Gil today about that whole concept, too, and to see where we come down.
His name is Gil Mertz. He's assistant to the president at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. He's been involved with full-time Christian service for nearly 40 years and draws from a vast background of ministry with international missions, humanitarian causes, public policy, and consulting. He's a former pastor and radio talk show host. His daily commentaries on forgiveness has been broadcast on more than 300 stations across the country. Gil and his wife Patricia live in Southern California. They have three children and three grandchildren, and our featured resource, Forgive Your Way to Freedom, can be found at 5lovelanguages.com.
Gil, welcome to Building Relationships.
Well, Gary, thank you so much. I am so anxious to talk to you today, but let me just start by saying what an honor it is to be able to just talk to you. My wife and I picked up your Five Love Languages book probably about 20 years ago, and it had a great impact on our marriage. And I have to tell you real quickly, last night I was talking to our son, and he's engaged to be married next spring. And I told him about my upcoming interview with you, and he said, "Oh, well, we have just picked up his book in preparation for our marriage, talking about the five love languages." So it is a generational blessing that you have given to us through your ministry.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Gil. I get a lot of positive response to that book. I think it's because the deep need all of us have to feel loved by the significant people in our lives, and that book helps you do it effectively.
Indeed.
Well, I'm really excited about our topic today, Gil. Why don't you give us your response to what Chris and I were talking about a moment ago, forgiveness, releasing the other person. Are those words interchangeably, or is there a shade of difference between the two? What would you say to that?
Well, I like the word releasing when it comes to forgiveness. I think one of the reasons that we don't forgive is because we're holding on to some flawed sense of justice. I think we're trying to create our own sense of fairness for something that wasn't fair. And the problem with that is that we are not an unbiased judge because we've been hurt and we cannot judge fairly, and we have to release that or recuse ourselves from the judgment against our offender. And part of that is releasing. And when we release, it really is a form of trust to God, that God is a fair judge, that God can handle this appropriately. But I think I also need to point out that when we release this person, we're also releasing ourselves from anger and frustration, resentment, and all kinds of things that create problems with our spiritual health, mental, emotional, physical health. And that's why I talk so much about it in the book. When we forgive, we are forgiving our way to freedom. Yeah. So it really frees us.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, people who spend time writing a book on a subject usually have a reason why they write on that topic. And sometimes it's a personal reason, you know. How about you? Is there a personal story behind this book on forgiveness?
Well, there is, Gary. You know, I tried to make the book clinical and certainly biblical, highly practical, but yes, it is also personal. The book has a lot of great true stories of people who have found freedom through forgiveness. But yes, in my own life, I was one of 11 kids growing up in St. Louis, and I often say that my mother's favorite thing was the playpen because she could sit inside it, and us kids couldn't get anywhere near her. And speaking of books, she could write her own bestseller on 101 ways to prepare bologna. It was a challenge for Mom. My dad came from a long line of men that had a lot of unresolved issues that they kind of poured into the next generation. My dad, I think, did the best he knew how. My dad was very abusive, verbally, physically abusive. And when he wasn't angry all the time, he was pretty much estranged from his kids. Sometimes I wonder, you know, he probably would have thought, you know, fatherhood is a pretty good thing if it weren't for the kids. You know, so anyway, it was a challenging childhood. And interestingly, Gary, as I share this story with a lot of other people, and I go into much greater detail in the book, I have so many come up to me and say, you were talking about my dad. Or I can tell as I'm sharing this story that I'm walking right into a lot of people's pain. Yeah. Well, so when I grew up, I completely drifted away from my father, just didn't have any relationship at all, really. And so the day came when I received a phone call from my sister that he had a pretty serious form of cancer and was only given a few months to live. Mm-hmm. Her call was to ask me, will you be coming home to St. Louis? I was living in California at the time. Will you be coming home for the funeral? And Gary, I didn't say this in anger. I just said it in total indifference. I said, well, what would be the point? But God really convicted me about that I should try to reconcile with my father before he died. And that was how do you do that when you've not had a relationship your entire life? How do you reconcile knowing that this would be the last time you ever speak to your father? There were all kinds of ways this could have gone bad, but I really trusted God that I would go to him and I would have a heart-to-heart conversation with him. I did ask God for two things. I asked God, I would like for my dad to look me in the eye and to say that he loved me. But I would also like to look my father in the eye and tell him, I forgive you, Dad. I didn't know how God was going to allow that to happen. But again, the long story short is I did go to St. Louis, Gary, and I did have my meeting with my father. And it was a time of tears and repentance and reconciliation. I did hear my dad tell me he loved me, and I did have the opportunity to tell him that I forgave him. And as we wept together, it was more than just a moment of reconciliation, Gary. It was two men lifting a generational curse that had plagued our family for far too long. And today, I'm taking a very different path than my father. And because of God's grace, I can. And so can any of your listeners. You know, they may have also had a difficult childhood or have had circumstances happen to them that got them off track, but they don't have to extend that to the next generation. They can be the one in their family who says, enough, stop. This stops here. It stops with me. And we're going down a different path of love, of joy, of peace and victory because, you know, our fate is not our destiny. All of us have gone through difficult times where fate has dealt us a pretty serious blow, but that does not need to be the end of the story. Yeah. We had no choice what happened to us in the past, but we have every choice of what happens to us in the future.
You're listening to Building Relationships with our guest, Gil Mertz.